This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering and to open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and we send the choicest of peace and blessings to our beloved messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of salah and salam that can be conveyed to a messenger on behalf of their ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ennoble him in every way and grant him nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the maqam mahmood and the shafa' on the day of judgment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of that shafa' on the day of judgment. Continuing in our journey of Surah Al-Kahf, today we have come to the journey, which is the story, the third of the story of the four stories of Surah Kahf that we have talked about. And we gave you the background that the Quraysh had gone to the Jewish tribes to look for something by which they could disprove the messengership of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they'd asked them to ask certain questions, two of which were related to the people of the cave and then to the man who traveled from the east to the west, which is Dhulqarnain. So those are the first and the last of the four stories of Surah Al-Kahf, and in between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a bonus of two extra stories, and we'll talk about what might be the wisdom of that. So before we start, the ayats from ayah number, that we're going to cover today, we want to give you a little background of the story of Musa alayhi salam. And this background comes from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith is present in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim and other narrations with some even more details, but this is one of the long hadiths in Sahih Bukhari. And again, that proves to us that the Quran cannot be understood without reference to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, because if you don't have this, you don't know where you are in the story. So the story starts with, as you know, Musa alayhi salam was the messenger, the Rasul for Bani Israel. And one day he had given a khutbah. And as you know, the Bani Israel are always questioning every possible thing. So one or some of them stood up and said to him, "O Musa, who is the most knowledgeable of mankind?" And he replied, sort of rightly so, knowing that he was the Nabi, the messenger of the time, he said, "I am." In another narration of this, they asked, "Do you know anyone more knowledgeable than you?" And he said, "No." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately reprimanded him and corrected him in a gentle way, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not approve of this response from his messenger, because his messengers are held to a higher standard. So what was wrong with this? What he had said was the truth, but it didn't match the adab that he should have had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being one of the ulul azm, the messenger of Allah, that he did not attribute all knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like they say, Allah knows. Allah wa Rasulullah alam, that's how we say that he should have said Allah knows, or referred this knowledge back to Allah by saying Allah knows best and just be humble about it. Or by saying, "I am the most knowledgeable, inshallah." And he didn't say that. Now this inshallah, if you remember, we have encountered this before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, he said, "I have an abd, a slave servant, who is more knowledgeable than you? Straight up. Now Musa alayhi salam, as he is, he said, Ya Allah, where is this man? He said, he is at the junction of the two seas, of the two oceans, of the two seas. Musa alayhi salam said, Oh my Lord, how can I meet him? Look at his curiosity. He is the messenger and, you know, as some have said, the third best of all of Allah's creation after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, then Musa alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Oh my Lord, how can I meet him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Take a fish as your provision, put it in a large basket and travel with it towards the junction of the two seas. And wherever you lose your fish, you will find him there. So Musa alayhi salam took a fish which was dead, baked, ready as a provision. And he took this young fata, this young boy, like his to as his khadim, as his servant, whose name is Yusha bin Nun, who was also in a way his nephew. And he was a youth in training because he was to become the next Nabi and of the Bani Israel. In fact, that is known as Joshua, who, and as you know, Musa alayhi salam never entered the holy lands of Jerusalem. The Bani Israel were 40 years that roamed through the desert, and it was Yusha bin Nun under whose leadership they finally entered that. Okay, but here he is in training, he's a young fellow. So he goes with Musa alayhi salam, and that's the background of the story, and then we'll deal with the story. That's how it started. Now, as we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two extra stories. They asked for two stories, Ashab al-Kahf and Dhul-Qarnayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the story of the man with the two gardens, which has to do with wealth and human resources. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this story of Musa alayhi salam, which has to do with knowledge. So people have reflected, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give these two extra stories? So as you know, the audience, the primary audience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the Quraysh, right? Of Makkah, this is the Makkah surah. So what was the main source of their arrogance and pride in rejecting this message? Wealth and children. So what was the first, the story, the second story that came? Wealth and children. Mal wal banun. So through that story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Quraysh, don't have arrogance and reject this message or this messenger because of your wealth and power. Because listen to this story, what was the end of this man with the wealth and power, and how did it help him in any way? As if you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended that, وَلَمْ تَكُلْ لَهُ فِيَةٌ يَنْسُرُنَّهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا. That no manpower could help him in the end, and he couldn't help himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, teaching the Quraysh, and of course us, to be humble when the truth comes and to submit to it. So that may be one of the wisdom for revealing that story about the two gardens. And then the story of Musa alayhi salam. Now, who sent these people to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam? The Bani Israel, the Jewish tribes. And what did they take arrogance in? In their knowledge. We know more than anybody else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them through the story, look, your own messenger did not know as much as he thought. And he humbled himself in this story and traveled for so long to someone lesser than him in rank to learn. So don't have the arrogance of knowledge. When this truth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to you, submit to it. And that's maybe one of the reasons that this was revealed to them. There's another possibility. Some have said that this story may have been revealed as a consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because just before, he had been gently reprimanded when he said that I will tell you the stories tomorrow, and he didn't say inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right away corrected him also by saying, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ Inni fa'ilun dhalika ghadan. Don't say about anything, I'll do this tomorrow, without saying illa in yasha Allah. So in this story, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that there was a previous messenger before you, Musa alayhi salam, who also said something not fully befitting a messenger of his rank, when he said he was most knowledgeable. And he didn't say inshallah either. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reprimanded him in a way. So in other words, consoles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't feel so badly that you were reprimanded. Other messengers have made similar errors at their, it's not really an error, but at their level, and that other messengers have been gently reprimanded before him, and they've had their share of correction. So this is another thing. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats people according to their level. Okay. Now, these are the elite, the elect of all of humanity, who are more beloved to Allah than anyone else. So he holds them to the highest of all standards. Okay. So if anything where they deviate from that limits of that absolute slavehood of ubudiyah that is expected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately disciplines them. Now we do much worse things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't call us to task because we are at a different level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disciplined Musa alayhi salam by sending him to someone who was at a lower level to learn from him. Now, another part of the background, who is Al-Khadr or Khidr, or different ways of pronouncing it, because it's Kha, Da, Ra, and there are no marks, so it can be Khidr, it can be Khadr. Sahih Bukhari now has it written as Al-Khadr. Now, sometimes they call him Khidr, they call him Khadr, they call him Al-Khadr, Al-Khidr, all the same. And the word Khidr, that's not his name. This comes from Khadra, which is green. So why was he given this title? Because Allah, one of his karamat, one of his special blessings was wherever he went, he would bring blessings. And the Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith in Sahih Bukhari that he would go on a barren white land, and if he sat there or he prayed there, everything around him would become green. Okay. This is a karama that Allah had bestowed to this man. So that was his title. Now, there are opinions. Who was he? Some people said he was a messenger, a rasul. Some said he is a nabi. Some said he is a wali. Not those, but a wali, a special saintly person. The majority of scholars, based on everything that comes in the story, have said that he was a nabi. He was a nabi to a different nation other than Bani Israel. Okay. And in some of the narrations, he's even been given a name, which is Balia ibn Malkan Yusuf. And in some narration, it says that he was actually the son of a king who wanted him to take over the kingdom. He wanted no part of it, so he ran away and he hid in some island. He crossed some waters and got there. So that's Khidr alayhi salam. Now, so as we know, that his rank was less than that of Musa alayhi salam, because as the story goes, when Musa alayhi salam comes to him and greets him with salam, when they finally meet, and we'll come to that. So Musa alayhi salam comes to him and he says to him, Assalamu alaikum. And he responds, Wa alaikum assalam, and he says, what is this greeting in your land? In other words, he thought he was in a land of the kuffar. Where did he hear this salam coming from? So he asked him, what is your name? So he said, I am Musa. So he said, Musa of the Bani Israel? He said, yes. So he knew of Musa alayhi salam, but Musa alayhi salam didn't know of him. So it tells us that his rank was lower than that of Musa alayhi salam. So of his karamat, as we said, besides that he would bring barakah and greenery, that he was given special, exclusive knowledge of hidden secrets. What we call, not what is zahir, what is apparent, but what is behind that. You know? So esoteric knowledge as opposed to exoteric knowledge, which is apparent in front of you. You know, you see a puppet show, you're seeing this is going on, exoteric, but who is behind and what is intended? So this is the kind of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him as a special knowledge and directly to him along with the special rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. So this kind of knowledge, which is ladunni ilm, is not something that you learn from books. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pours into the hearts of his elect, whoever he decides. Now this also doesn't mean that Musa alayhi salam only exclusively had exoteric knowledge, which is the legislation, which is the sharia. He also had knowledge of the unseen, but not everything. This man was given something that Musa alayhi salam did have. And this conversation will take place when they meet, because he said to Musa alayhi salam that I have been given knowledge from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you do not have. And you have been given knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what I do not have. Okay. So this is the kind of knowledge. So there is a difference in the people of exoteric or zahiri knowledge, which is essential, because that's what our salah and zakah and hajj, all of that legislation, laws are. So people of exoteric knowledge have been charged in rectifying external matters. Do this, don't do that, you know, how to treat people, all of that. And they, as the scholars say, they drink from the ocean of sacred legislation, which is what Allah has made law, which is the sharia. So their source is that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with that. And Musa alayhi wa sallam came with that. And the sharia of the Bani Israel and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very close. Now, and they were also given things of the unseen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew many things of the unseen. He was even shown Jannah and Nar and punishments and all of those things. And now the people of the esoteric knowledge are charged with realizing the internal realities of things. What is behind something that happened? Events that we see and we don't understand, there is something, haqiqah, reality behind it. And they drink from this ocean of haqiqah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to people. Now, as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and he told Musa alayhi salam, go to where the two seas, two oceans meet. And some of the scholars have said that this is also, that's a physical thing of where to meet, but there is also an ishara that the two oceans, Majma al-Bahrain, that our master Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, was representing the ocean of sacred law, the sharia. And Khidr alayhi salam was representing the ocean of the realities, the haqiqah, and they met. Okay. So this is another way of saying meeting of the two oceans. He was an ocean of knowledge of the sharia, he was an ocean of knowledge of the unseen, and they met. And they met where the oceans meet. Now where that was, we don't know. Some people, there is actually a masjid in the Strait of Gibraltar in Morocco. They said this is where the oceans meet, where this sea comes and the Atlantic comes, but nobody knows for sure. Okay. And also this teaches us that being a prophet with the law does not negate the possibility of his learning some secrets and hidden sciences from someone else. Because the limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, there is no limit. So it's unlimited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to people how much he wants. And in one of the conversations when they get on the boat, and I'll bring it here, when they first get on a boat in the first part of this, Musa alayhi salam, Khidr alayhi salam get on the boat, a bird comes and sits on the edge of the ship. And then it beak puts his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously makes it do that, it puts his beak into the ocean, into the sea, and takes a few sips. So the first lesson that Khidr alayhi salam tells Musa alayhi salam there, he says that your knowledge, Musa, and my knowledge, and in one narration, and the knowledge of the first and the last, compared to the knowledge of Allah, is less than the water this bird took in its beak compared to the water of the ocean. To telling us what the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So if that, and we know that is the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can anyone claim ownership that I know? And this is a lesson for us. It's better thing to say is, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Okay. So there is a beautiful hikam of one of our great saintly scholars from Egypt a few hundred years ago, Ibn Ata'Allah As-Sikandari, in his hikam, the meaning of which is related to this. He said that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prohibited you from claiming ownership of that which belongs to another created being. In other words, you can't take the property of somebody else. Right? You're not allowed to. He said, Allah prohibited you from claiming ownership of that which belongs to other created things. Would he then permit you to claim his attribute, like Al-Alim, while he is the Lord of the worlds? Do you understand? That he is Al-Alim, how can anybody claim that? Oh, I know. Okay. It's like taking ownership of what Allah owns. So I thought this was a beautiful saying. It's sort of appropriate here. So go from there. Now, Al-Khidr alayhi salam was given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rahmah, directly, min indina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. And they found, Musa alayhi salam and Yusha alayhi salam found, abdan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not describe. Abdan is something that is not specified with al, the slave. When it is indefinite, it actually, in other words, there's no limit to his abudiyah. Abdam min ibadina, from our slaves, Allah said, and then he gives him a noble rank by saying he's from our slaves. Allah claims ownership. Allah owns everybody, but he specifies that. Okay. Ataynahu, who we gave rahmah min indina, who we gave a special mercy from us. Of course, all mercy comes from Allah, but Allah is specifying all of this. Wa allamnahu min ladunna ilma. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a special rahmah. Now as we go in the story, you say this person should have a great degree of rahmah. But when you look in the first and second incidents of what happened, you say, where is his rahmah? Okay, we're looking from the surface. So just keep that in mind. This is just the background. And he was given this ilm ladunni, which is the inspired ilm. Now there's another of his karamat that is mentioned by some people. Some people say, and you may have read, that he has been granted life till the day of judgment. Okay. And of course, this is an area of differences of opinion. Many of those people have said this can't be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had certain ahadith in which he said, whoever's alive on the surface of this earth, ala wajhi al-ard, today will not be alive in 100 years. So if you go by that hadith, everybody who was after 100 years at that time alive, which if he was alive should have died, and others have said that that's a am statement, and there is takhsis of am, where people are specified outside of that. And where does this come from? Because there have been reported meetings of Khidr alayhi salam for centuries with people, with saintly figures, who claim that they met Khidr alayhi salam. So, and some have said that those reports are so numerous that it's almost mutawatir. And it is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant somebody that, like he gave to Iblis. So this is one opinion, but again, this doesn't have a great impact. I'm mentioning it because you might read about it. You don't have to accept it, but don't reject it, because it exists. So now let us start